Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Shlomo, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers this week, this was quite a week for us in Israel. We noticed that as a result of our organization becoming an issue among some of the politicians running in the upcoming election on January 22nd for the Knesset, because, as we've mentioned before, at least one political party has been attacking us and attacking me personally, this has actually given us more attention and more publicity. And as a result, we noticed some interesting things this week. Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak, who is the most famous rabbi who does what we call machzir b'tshuva. That means bringing Jews back to Judaism, bringing them back to their Jewish roots. The most famous machzir b'tshuva in Israel, Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak, is running a slate of candidates for the Knesset in the election. It's called Koach Lehashpia, which means the power to influence. That's the name of his party. And he has positions which are not the same as our positions on many issues. On some issues he does agree with us, but on many issues he doesn't agree with us. All of a sudden this week we notice he starts saying there's no such thing as a Palestinian people. He starts using lines that we use to argue against the fact that there's a Palestinian people. All of a sudden some of our lines are getting into his speeches, and this is really important because if you look in Hebrew on YouTube, you'll see that he has more views and more videos and more exposure on YouTube in Hebrew than any other rabbi in the world. No other rabbi gets the exposure that he gets on YouTube. He's number one for all rabbis in Hebrew on the YouTube search engine, Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak. Everyone in Israel knows him. And he has reached and changed the lives of hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews. And so when he starts using our message now that there's no Palestinian people, that this is all a bluff, using the same words that I use in the Hebrew videos, that it's a bluff, that it's a lie, who was the first, if it wasn't, then who was the first Palestinian prime minister? Where was the capital of Palestine? Which countries had embassies in Palestine? Who were the Palestinian cabinet members? Who was the first king of Palestine? I mean, these are the questions that we ask, because they claim that there was this nation, Palestine, for 2,000 years, and the Jews came and just took it over and basically displaced all of the Arabs that live in that country, which is, of course, all a complete distortion of history. There was never a Palestine. There was never a Palestinian people. Arab trespassers came into Israel after the Jews came in the 20th century, in the 19th century, in the 20th century, and started to rebuild the land. Then Arabs started flooding in illegally in order to take advantage of the new economic opportunities being created by the Jews who were turning deserts into gardens. And then they wanted to steal everything that the Jews were achieving there because they don't achieve anything. And so they went to war and promised to destroy the Jews, started murdering Jews. They murdered thousands of Jews. And they promised to destroy the Jewish people. And there's been an ongoing war in which tens of thousands of Jews have been murdered in the past 100-plus years. But in any event, the claim that there was a Palestine or a Palestinian people, this was something that was only started in the 1960s. Before the 1960s, nobody said that there's a Palestine or a Palestinian people. When Israel was not in control of Judea, Samaria, Gaza, and East Jerusalem, nobody said that there's a need to create a Palestine state. No one. And so all of these facts that we have brought out now are being brought out by Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak. And he reaches a lot of people. So, you know, that's a very positive development. And you know, we see this with so many things, so many people and so many spokesmen in Israel. We see that our message gets introduced. I saw Harav Dov Bigun, who has a huge yeshiva in Israel called Mechon Meir. I saw him using some of the lines that we use. All of a sudden, he said that the Arabs have 600 times as much territory as the Jews, and I mean, just some of the exact same statistics and exact same lines that we've been using. So I think that this just shows how important it is that we reach as many people as possible with our message. Because Israel is going to face, after the election, some very, very tough and serious challenges. And we had better be ready to confront them. The two big challenges are, of course, the worldwide effort to create a so-called Palestine state and the effort by self-hating Jews that run Israel to create a so-called Palestine state, God forbid, which would be national suicide for Israel. And the second threat is the Iranian nuclear threat. Those two threats hang over the Jewish people as never before. And we really had better be ready. If we love Israel and want to defend Israel and want to protect Israel, we had better be ready to do everything we can to confront those threats. And because of our limited budget and because of our limited resources and because I'm banned from going to Israel, the most useful thing that we've been able to do is to bring this message of truth to large numbers of Israeli Jews. And we've been doing that with our videos. I mean, Israel's a country of only 5.5 million Jews. If you see that, I mean, some of our Hebrew videos have large numbers of views, tens of thousands of views. And so if you add up all of the views we've gotten on the Hebrew videos, you see we've reached a large chunk of the Israeli Jewish population. A large percentage have seen our videos and seen our message. And you see that now being translated into politicians and rabbis and other people using lines that we use, which we're happy about, because we're happy to see. We're happy to see if the truth starts to spread and the truth starts to circulate among the people of Israel. And so it's just something to keep in mind that I thought was very encouraging. This was a pretty good week for us in general. There was a lot of activity on our Hebrew forum, a lot of activity, a lot of buzz about us, and a lot of people speaking about us in Israel. And I thought it was a pretty positive week for our message in Israel. Of course, we want to spread the word much more, which is why we need your help. That's why when we do put up Hebrew and English videos, it's really, really important to help us to favorite, comment, and mirror the videos, to do everything we can to spread the word, both on YouTube and on Facebook. It really is important. And also to help us with our forum and with our Facebook pages. We have two English language Facebook pages, and we have our English language forum. We want to make those three places, the two English language Facebook pages and the forum, we want to make them as attractive as possible so that people will be as active as possible with us, so that our English movement will also grow and flourish. By the way, I don't know if you keep up and notice, but we are getting a constant flow, a constant stream of new members all the time. Every single day this week, we've registered new members who've come on. And this is on the English forum. On the Hebrew forum, it's even more impressive. It's even more active. At least in recent weeks, it's certainly been more active. So I think that's encouraging. But, you know, again, we want much more because the challenges are so enormous. And the Iranian nuclear threat and the threat of creating a Palestine state, we really got to grow and be as strong as possible and reach as many people as possible in order to try to prevent these disasters from coming to fruition. And so we need your help in making the forum an attractive place. We need your help in helping us with the Facebook pages and in promoting the videos. And of course, most importantly, we need your financial support. We have great JTFers who go to our English main page, jtf.org, and click on the donate button on top so that they can make credit card donations. Just takes a few minutes, and very conveniently you can make credit card donations, or you can go to the Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. There's a donate button there as well. Either one, whatever you prefer. And you can help us very, very conveniently and support us and support this worthy cause. If you agree with us that it's important that people hear our message, if you agree with us that the message that we are trying to spread in Israel is important and that it's vital that we reach as many people as possible, if you agree with that, then we're the group that needs the help. We're the group that's pushing and fighting and doing this. No one else is doing it like we are. And no one has the message that we have, the uncompromising message that we have, which I believe is the message that's necessary for Israel's survival. And so people are helping us with the credit card donations. And, of course, we have JTFers who also help by sending checks, money orders, and cash donations through the regular mail to our post office box. Equally as good. There's no difference. If people want to help with checks, money orders, or cash donations to the post office box, or if people want to help through their credit card online, it doesn't make any difference. It's very, very helpful, and it does do a tremendous amount of good in helping us spread the word, in helping us reach as many people as we possibly can. And so if you want people to be reached with this message, if you want Israeli Jews to hear the message that Israel cannot give up her biblical homeland, cannot surrender, and that it's forbidden to expel Jews from their land, that soldiers and police should not obey orders to do this, they should be willing, just like Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi engage in civil disobedience, they should be willing to support civil disobedience and should say, we will take whatever the consequences are, but we cannot, as a matter of conscience, do this to our brothers and sisters. We cannot do this to our homeland. If you agree that that message is important, and if you agree that it's important and encouraging and wonderful that people like Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak and other politicians are starting to use our lines, even in political campaigns, then we urge you to help us. I mean, if you put my name in Hebrew, for instance, you'll see over 5,000 returns for videos just under my name. You put the name of Hayamin Amiti, our movement in Hebrew, you'll see even more. I mean, you won't see more than 5,000, but you'll see thousands more. I mean, we have a big Hebrew presence. And now the person with the biggest Hebrew presence, Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak, is saying what we're saying, that there is no Palestine. He's not saying everything we're saying on all issues. On some issues, he has his own views. On economic issues, we have big differences. He favors all types of government intervention in the economy. But putting that aside, on the issue of creating a Palestine state, he is saying things now that we have been saying for many, many years. And using our lines, because he sees that our lines are persuasive, and they were persuasive for him. And that means huge numbers of new people are being exposed to this. Huge numbers of Israelis are hearing this. I think that's encouraging. I think that's important. And I know that our great JTFers agree. And that's why I know that we're all in this fight together. Because we don't have a lot of time. In a couple of weeks, the election's going to be over, and then we face the big challenge. After the election, it's after the election that the challenge really comes, after the Knesset elections. That's when we really face the big challenge. And here in the United States, of course, we have huge challenges. Chuck Hagel is apparently going to be nominated today to be Secretary of Defense by Barack Hussein Osama. Chuck Hagel is a Nazi Jew hater who attacks what he calls the Jewish lobby and makes all types of vicious anti-Semitic attacks. It was against even sanctions against Muslim terrorist Iran. I mean, we have some pretty serious challenges here that very much affect the survival of America and Israel. And some of those challenges are here in the United States. And we've got to act on those on that as well. And so I think we know what the challenges are. We know that our job is to reach as many people and try to wake people up. That's our goal, to wake people up. And the great JTFers who are helping us do this, God bless you. God bless you for doing a wonderful mitzvah, for fulfilling a great commandment. because we're commanded to help Israel and the Jewish people, and we're commanded to stand for the truth and justice and righteousness. Those are all commands, and that's something that we're doing. And so I thank our great JTFers for all of their help, and we need your help more than ever. So let's get ready and brace ourselves, because we got a real tough fight ahead of us, and we're going to do everything we can. We're going to do everything we can to make as much of a positive difference as we can on the situation. I think this week we proved that we're certainly changing for certain important people, like Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak, who reaches a very important segment of the Israeli Jewish population. Certainly when it comes to him and to that segment of the population representing hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews, we are reaching people with our message, because people are adopting and taking portions of our message and putting it into their own speeches. I think that's encouraging. Anyway, let's get to with that good news, which I think is encouraging. Let's get to the other great part of what we do every week, which is answer the questions of our great JTFers. And let's start out with Yimach Shmo to Obama, who is a great JTFer, and he writes, and I quote, "Der Chaim, what is your opinion on Aaron Copeland?" Unquote. Aaron Copeland was one of the most successful musical composers in American history. He had huge musical successes, especially in the 1930s and 1940s, 1950s. Tremendous musical successes, and had a tremendous influence on American music. He was also a notorious self-hating Jew. A terrible self-hating Jew. He had huge successes and was earning millions of dollars during the Holocaust in the 1930s, the early 1940s, while millions of Jews were being gassed and burned. He was producing songs, earning huge amounts of money, and doing absolutely nothing to save his brothers and sisters, even though he had huge amounts of money and tremendous influence. And he, like all of the other very successful Jews who were the majority of people in Hollywood at that time, and had tremendous power and influence, did nothing, never lifted a finger, never spoke up, never supported the one group. Ben Hecht and Peter Berkson represented a group of right-wing Jews that were trying to save the Jews during the Holocaust. If they had had more support, they could have saved far more Jews. Nothing from this animal. He did nothing to help his people while over 6 million Jews were brutally murdered. He did nothing for them. He didn't care in the least. And when Israel was, before the creation of Israel, did nothing to help create Israel, did nothing to help save Israel, never did a thing for Israel in his life. But not only did he do nothing to save the Jewish people, he actually worked to hurt the Jewish people and worked to harm the Jewish people. He supported the Communist Party, the Stalinist Communist Party, because the Communist Party in the United States was always a puppet of the Soviet Union, a complete slavish puppet of the Soviet Union. And in the 1930s, when he was supporting the Communist Party and when he endorsed the Communist Party candidates for president and vice president in 1936, for instance, when he did that, those Communist Party candidates were puppets of Joseph Stalin, who slaughtered tens of millions of people. That's what he supported. I'm speaking again about Aaron Copeland, very talented, brilliant musical composer and a musical composer who had one of the greatest influences on American music in American history. Even though many people don't know of him today, but he had tremendous influence on American music. He supported the Communist Party. He never helped his own people. Even in 1948, he supported the so-called Progressive Party, which was a front group for communists. So this was a very evil, self-hating Jew. Anyway, I hope that enlightens people about that and answers your question, Yimach Shmo to Obama. I thank you for the question. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "If you ran for elections, who would be your number 2, 3, 4, etc. candidates?" All right, let's start with that question. Tag Mechir Tzedek, I apologize, but I can't answer that. We're trying to groom people for this, but I can't answer that because, first of all, I don't even know if people that I would like to see run would be willing to run. And I don't want to put them on the spot now. There are people in Israel whom I would like to see run, but some of them have indicated that they're against running for the Knesset because they think the Knesset is such a polluted body. I disagree with them on. I think we should run a slate of candidates for the Knesset as long as we don't compromise on the issues. But there are some people I have in mind, but I just don't know. I don't know how it would work out when the time comes. I don't know. I really can't tell you. There are some good people, but it's just not. I just can't tell you who would be in which spot at this point. Anyway, Tag Mechir now writes, and I quote, "Is banning Zoabi a good thing or an excuse then to ban others like you?" Unquote. Well, Tag Mechir Tzedek, she was not banned because the Supreme Court unanimously overturned her ban. The full Supreme Court unanimously decided to overturn her banning, even though she not only is a supporter of Muslim terrorism and the destruction of Israel, she participated. She participated in Muslim terrorism. She is a Muslim terrorist, and she's sitting in the Knesset. They banned Rabbi Meir Kahana, which led to his murder, but Muslim terrorists who actually participated in acts of Muslim terrorism to destroy Israel are sitting in the Knesset. It is not a good thing that she's in the Knesset. And I don't want to buy my way into the Knesset by saying it's okay for Arab Nazis to be there. No, we don't compromise. The Arab Nazis should be banned and we should not be banned. We're loyal to Israel and want to help Israel. They hate Israel and want to destroy Israel. I think it should be very clear and logical. They should be banned and not us. And yet the opposite is what took place in Israeli history. We saw Rabbi Kahana was banned and I'm not allowed to even step foot in Israel. But the Supreme Court unanimously helps this Muslim terrorist who has openly called for Israel's destruction and participated in Muslim terrorist activity. She is permitted to sit in the Knesset. And so our position is the proper, logical Jewish position. People who want to destroy the state of Israel and who participate in terrorism should not be allowed to run for the Knesset, whereas those of us who are loyal to Israel and want to save Israel absolutely not only should be allowed to run for the Knesset, we're the ones who should be running the whole state of Israel. And the fact that the opposite is true shows what a crazy situation we have. But we're not going to stop telling the people of Israel that it should be the other way around and always should have been from the start. Anyway, thank you very much, Tag Mechir Tzedek. Great question. And now we go to the great Just Say No to Nefrodi. Oh, instead of Naftali, we have Nefrodi. Okay, Just Say No to Nefrodi. And the question is, Shalom Chaim, do you think Nefrodi Bennett and the other fake Kahanas are agents of the NWO designed to divide and subvert Israel, unquote? I don't think that they are knowing agents who are deliberately trying to destroy Israel. First of all, Naftali Bennett does not call himself a Kahanist, so he doesn't even claim to be a fake Kahanist. He is not a supporter of Rabbi Kahana and never has been. Are there other people who claim to be supporters of Rabbi Kahana and who are not? Yes, we do have people, and we've mentioned it before. Michael Ben-Ari, Baruch Marzel. Yes, we've mentioned them before. Itamar Ben-Gvir. These are people who now have been saying things. I mean, I could give you so many examples of the things that they've been saying and doing that I think all of us would agree that these are not the type of statements that Kahanas would make. Praising Yitzhak Rabin's memory, blessing members of the radical left-wing Meretz party. As far as Naftali Bennett is concerned, he has a big political party now that he's running. His positions on the issues are disastrous. He wants to give Israeli citizenship to another 50,000 Arab Muslims. This is the answer? We don't have enough Arab Muslims in the state of Israel. He wants to give citizenship to another 50,000? It's insanity. Just insanity. He's so anxious to do more gestures for the Arabs and help the Arabs in the land of Israel. If you do that, you're going to keep them there. They're going to stay there. And they're going to grow and grow and grow like a cancer. We should make them as uncomfortable in Israel as possible so they'll leave. Anyway, I don't think that they're intentionally. I'm sure he believes he's actually helping Israel. But he's not. I think Netanyahu thinks he's helping Israel. But Netanyahu is a weak appeaser and his policies are disastrous for Israel. And so, no, I don't think that there's an intentional conspiracy here. But I think the net effect of their extremely weak capitulationist policies are very, very dangerous and literally endanger our survival. Anyway, thank you very much. Just say no. And now we go to the great DGR81, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, have you started to groom someone else to help you and to carry on the movement?" Unquote. Yeah, of course. Of course, I'm trying. It's not an easy process. That's a very hard thing to do, to groom leaders. I'm banned from Israel, for instance. I would like to see people there who can run for the Knesset, who can carry on, like maybe in future elections. I mean, we have elections coming up in 2 weeks. Obviously, we're not running anybody in this election. But I'd like to eventually see people running. Even if I can't go and if I can't be part of it, I'd like to see other people doing it. And we are trying to groom people for that. Yes, we certainly are. We're working on it. It's a very tough process deciding who is really worthy and who really knows what they're doing and who has the skill necessary. I mean, very, very tough process. But we're trying. We are trying. It's always on my mind. It is always on my mind to make sure that we have successors when the day comes, when someone will have to replace me, because that day certainly will come. We all leave this world eventually. And so, yes, absolutely, it's on my mind. And we certainly are trying to create new leaders in order to do that. And I think we have some promising possibilities in Israel. We have some pretty smart, intelligent, promising possibilities that we're working on. Anyway, thank you, DGR. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, logic, and common sense, who writes, and I quote, "If someone wealthy enough to bribe an Israeli official to let you make Aliyah to Israel existed, would you allow for it to take place?" Unquote. No. And I'll tell you why. It's not a moral issue because I don't believe the laws of Israel I have no respect for the anti-Semitic laws of Israel. I love the state of Israel, but the Israeli government and their laws and their whole system is just rotten to the core. I have no respect for them. So it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with my respect for their laws. The reason I would not allow somebody to try to bribe somebody is because I am not going to let somebody else risk getting arrested because it's illegal to do that. I'm not going to risk somebody else getting arrested and going to prison to help me get into Israel. Just so that I can benefit, I'm not going to have another Jew or a righteous Gentile risk their freedom and their lives to help me. I wouldn't ask anybody and I wouldn't want anybody to do that. I believe that the only way I'm going to get into Israel is one of two ways. If God decides, if Hashem in His mercy decides to give us new leaders and new people there after the election that are willing to let me in, that would be great. That would be a wonderful thing. That would be a miraculous development. Or, alternatively, if we become a big enough movement, they won't be able to keep me out. If we become big enough and strong enough, these are all politicians, the people making these decisions. They don't want to do things that are unpopular and that will hurt them among the voters. If we become big enough and strong enough and this creates enough of a stink, they will let me in, eventually. They'll eventually have to let me in. So it's going to be one of those two things, or maybe both. Maybe it's going to be a combination of having new leaders that are more willing to be reasonable and to understand what an injustice this was, a combination of that and the fact that we've become a bigger and stronger movement. Maybe it'll be a combination. But that's the key. That's what we're going to have to work on in order to get me in. Anyway, thank you very much, Dr. Dan. Great question. And now we go to the great Say No to Islam. And by the way, all of our members are great. I know I say all of our members are great because you are all great members. And it's such a pleasure doing this program and communicating with our members every week. Say No to Islam writes, and I quote, "Have you ever heard of a virulent Nazi Jew hater, Charles Crane, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro? He was a philanthropist who admired Adolf Hitler and even supported Muslim Arabs," unquote. Yes, Charles Crane was indeed a Nazi supporter and someone who had relations with American presidents and was appointed by American presidents to all types of positions. I think he was appointed. I'm not sure if he was appointed to any position, but I know he had relationships with presidents, with Franklin Delano Roosevelt and other presidents, Howard Taft, I think, and other presidents. And Charles Crane was an open Nazi Jew hater who supported Adolf Hitler, admired Adolf Hitler, openly attacked the Jews and admitted that he was anti-Semitic and was very proud to be anti-Semitic, and did support the Muslim Arabs. He was an Arabist. He supported the Muslim Arabs. He loved the Arab world and started getting America addicted to Saudi Arabian oil, started drilling for oil in Saudi Arabia to get America addicted to Saudi oil. So, I mean, this was the epitome of an evil person. But, you know, the interesting thing is how close his association was to people like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, an open Nazi, vicious anti-Semite, and so close to Roosevelt and to other American presidents. This should tell people something about what we're dealing with when we talk about Roosevelt or when we speak about certain powerful people in Washington in relation to the Jews and why there was a Holocaust. Anyway, thank you, Say No to Islam. There was a Holocaust because these American leaders, like Roosevelt, wanted the Jews dead. They didn't want to bomb the rail lines or bomb the concentration camps because they wanted the Jews dead. Anyway, thanks for the question. And now we go to the fantastic British Sword, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom. What do you make of a professed Jew who says he will always be Christian in his heart?" Unquote. Well, when you say a professed Jew, I'm not sure what you mean. Is this someone who was born Jewish and now says he's a Christian in his heart? Or is this someone who was not Jewish but calls it, but wants to say that he's Jewish now even though he was not born Jewish? I don't know exactly what you mean by a professed Jew. Because the Jews are not only a religion, the Jews are a people. So somebody could be born Jewish and then decide they don't want to be part of that people or part of that religious faith. A Jew who becomes a Christian is no longer a Jew. It's a different religion. They're leaving the Jewish faith. A Jew who does that is turning his back on Judaism. If he becomes a member of any other religion. Because the Jewish people is based upon both religion and nationality, both. It's an unusual situation, but the Jews are both a people and a religious faith, both. Anyway, thanks, British Sword. And now we go to the fantastic LKZ, who writes, and I quote, "Is there such a thing as a dibuk?" Dibuk meaning an evil spirit or a demon. "If there are no evil spirits, why would spirits inconvenience you? What spirits exist other than angels?" Unquote. I don't believe that there are demons, and again, I say this, I want to make clear here that this question is only in relationship to Judaism. I do not want to offend our Christian members, because the Christian Bible does speak about demons, the existence of demons. We religious Jews, or even though there's the Talmud also speaks about the Dibukim and demons and Shadim is also these types of spirits and things. But Harambam and most of Chazal make it clear that this is just symbolism. We don't believe that evil creatures exist in the spiritual world, and we have a different view. We have a different view of the spiritual world. We don't believe that people in the spiritual world who are aware of this, people in the spiritual world are aware of God's existence and God's power and His majesty. And we don't believe that they would dare to rebel against God after becoming aware of His power and His majesty. So, you know, we don't believe that there is a phenomenon like that. Are there people? Are there human beings and souls that exist? Of people who passed away? Yes, but not in the sense that they become demons, or that they haunt people, or that they become ghosts. We don't believe that. We do believe that there is life after death. We do believe there is a spiritual world. That we do believe. But it's not the same concept as demons. There are human beings who have passed away, and their spirits and souls live on. Those are the spirits that exist other than angels, to answer your question. Anyway, thank you, LKZ. I hope that clarifies to a certain degree. I hope I wasn't too vague. I hope I was as clear as possible there. And now we go to our great member, Tzelhar, who is also very active on the Hebrew forum. Tzelhar writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what's your comment about Al Jazeera buying out Al Gore's current TV for $500 million, unquote. What a bizarre situation that is. It shows that Arab Muslim terrorist money is buying up the American news media. It shows what a rich hypocrite Al Gore is. I mean, he's earning $500 million. His station isn't worth half of, I mean, that network isn't worth $500 million. You know, unbelievable. An unbelievably insane transaction here. Glenn Beck wanted to buy it for $250 million. And I think that I thought $250 million would be a ripoff. And now Al Jazeera and the Persian Gulf Arab terrorists are paying $500 million. Once again, they're penetrating these enemies of America and Israel. Muslim terrorists, supporters of Muslim terrorism, because that's what Al Jazeera is, are penetrating into American media. It's a dangerous phenomenon. Thank you, Tzelhar. And now we go to the fantastic Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. Despite the 22nd Amendment, will Obama somehow run for a third term?" Unquote. No, I don't think he will, Maimonides. I don't think he can run for a third term. But I do think that the possibility exists. We saw this with Bill and Hillary Clinton, of Michelle Obama someday running for something. She may run for president someday. Who knows? Who knows? Our next immediate problem is going to be in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. God forbid. I hope that she doesn't recover from her recent blood clot or whatever illness she had. I mean, I hope she does. I hope she's unable to run, because it will be very difficult to defeat her, unfortunately. And she's a very evil person. Anyway, thank you, Maimonides, and I want to thank all of our great JTFers for another fantastic program. Until next week, Shalom.